This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, eternal, unbroken, verbally inspired word. The voice of truth is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis speaking, inviting you to stay tuned to hear God's message by our late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr., on the subject, Calvinism Recognizes the Power of the Holy Ghost, which is number 160 in this series.
One of the greatest evils of Calvinism, as viewed through the eyes of the Arminians, is the power of the Holy Spirit in the work of salvation and in the church. They will tell you that the Bible teaches the work of the Holy Spirit, but they will not have Bible Holy Spirit conviction that leads to heartfelt repentance, because it stirs the human heart, and they count it as unwholesome and undigestible. Now, that's the position of the average Arminian. It is. One of those boys one day sent me word and said, "Tell that Parson Sheldon that God saved me without Holy Spirit conviction." I sent him word back that he's headed for hell just as straight as a marten is to its gourd. Because if you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you miss repentance. If you miss repentance, you miss the new birth. If you miss the new birth, you miss Christ. If you miss Christ, you miss heaven. And if you miss hell, you miss heaven, you are doomed for hell. Now, that's right. Now, you think that through, my friend. But the present-day church membership and ministry will not have Holy Spirit conviction. I'll tell you something else. Now, you hold your seat now. We're going to jump a creek. Hold your seat now. They're putting the emphasis on what they call educated ministry today, and they will not have a Spirit-filled preacher. No, they won't. They say, well, let scholarship interpret the Bible and see where we're going to, too. Brother, we are on the rocks. I mean mud flats. When you turn the interpretation of God's Word over to cold scholarship, we are gone. Now, you hold that. The work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the sinner and the saint is mysterious and cannot be understood by anyone except a born-again believer. The Arminians put the emphasis on the will of man, the personality of the preacher, his intellect, his knowledge, his training, his education. That's right. As one such preacher said to me one day, "You know, Dr. So-and-so is having great success, Brother Sheldon." And I finally came to the conclusion why. It is due to his fine personality and his ability to manipulate his invitations to get sinners on a decision for Christ. And because of his understanding of human nature and how he gets along with folks. You know where he got that? He got that out of hell. That's satanic to the core. That's all they're teaching in the majority of seminaries today, how to get along with folks, how to draw their breath and draw their salaries and let their congregations go to hell. Another individual said to me one day, "We had a great service Sunday night. You know, all the members of my intermediate department were won to Christ. And the way he did it was by his charming personality, the manner in which he gave his invitation, and the power he had in getting them to step out for Christ." Isn't that awful? Now, my friends, that's Arminianism to the core. True Calvinism. Now, bless your heart, every Calvinist in doctrine's not going to heaven. Now, you put that thing down. True Calvinism recognizes only the power of the Holy Spirit to win men to Christ, regardless of the instrument God uses. Let me say that again. True Calvinism, and that's Bible, recognizes only the power of the Holy Spirit to win men to Christ, regardless of the instrument God uses. The most useless thing in all of God's creation is one of these so-called educated, refined, charming personalities called a preacher to win, bring men to Christ. They are the most useless things in all of God's creation. Now, I brought a message here about a month or so ago on the subject doctrinitis. Doctrinitis. And I show you that one of the things that's damning souls to hell is that they're preaching doctrines without Christ. All right, let's face this fact. The sinner is dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. And that sinner has to be raised to life to be saved. He can only be raised to life by the Holy Spirit, regardless of what type of personality a man may have. Now, I'm not saying that a preacher ought not to be educated. No, sir. As I said to a young preacher the other day, learn everything you can, because you'll need everything you learn in the ministry. But remember one thing, God brings men to Christ by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and not by your manipulation or your education or your personality. But my friend, only God has the power to give life to a dead sinner. You don't, I don't, nobody does. Talk about me stirring up sinners. I can't stir up sinners. Only the Holy Spirit does. As I'm preaching to you, with one breath I'm preaching the message. With another breath I'm praying, Lord, take hold of the hearts of sinners. Lord, carry the word home to the hearts of sinners. And if he doesn't, you'll not be even affected with this message. The Bible gives all the glory to the sovereign Holy Spirit in bringing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man has such a little part in the salvation of a sinner, until when God saves a sinner, God gets all the glory. 1 Corinthians 1:29. Listen to John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that maketh alive. Not the preacher, not the evangelist. Listen again. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. It is not the preacher, not what the preacher says, nor how he says it, nor is it the manner in which he says it, nor illustrations he may use. It is not anything that anyone can do that quickens a sinner. Now you put that down and hold it. You hold it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. How does he do it? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the foolishness of preaching the Word of God. The Holy Spirit quickens the heart of a sinner. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Now, I don't care whether you are an ignoramus or whether you are a DD, a LLD, or THD, or anybody else who preaches the Word. If the Word of God is preached by a saved preacher, now you get it now, if the Word of God is preached by a saved preacher, I mean that that man is born again, it is by the preaching of God's Word, under the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit takes the Word and quickens the heart of that sinner. It's the foolishness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching the gospel by which the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and convicts the sinner and brings him to Christ, and he alone does it. Now you get that truth and you hold it. It's by the foolishness of preaching the Word of God, under the power of God's Holy Spirit, that men are quickened, are made alive. Brother, it's not by seeing a moving picture show. It's not by seeing a television. It's not by seeing anything. A faith cometh by hearing. Now you put that thing down. Faith cometh by hearing and not by seeing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that faith cometh by seeing. It comes by hearing, hearing the Word. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. You hold your seat, bud. I don't believe a person has ever been saved or ever will be saved by seeing the picture on a screen or seeing a preacher on a television or anywhere else that God saves a sinner. He saves a sinner by him hearing the Word of God. You say, I don't believe that, all right? You hold your seat. Now, don't get frantic about it. Now, here's another fact we face in the salvation of a sinner. That work must be wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit. If you do not believe that salvation is an inward work of the Holy Spirit, wrought in the sinner's heart by the Holy Spirit, I have no message for you. And the Bible has no message for you. This gives God all the glory and leaves man discredited and deflated in the dust of repentance. Brother, make a lot of us preachers hang up our shovel in a hoe, wouldn't it? All right, that's the reason Arminianism hates true Calvinism, because man has nothing to brag about or boast about when a sinner gets saved. He can't go off and boast about his number of professions and decisions and so forth and so on. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit, and the preacher lies in the dust of repentance. Man is only an instrument, and what a poor earthen vessel he is. Paul calls him an earthen vessel. And most of us are leaden vessels, aren't we? It is the Holy Spirit who gives the new birth to whom he will. Christ, in speaking to Nicodemus, said, "You must be born of the Spirit, and the Spirit quickeneth whom he will." John 3:38. Yeah, I was thinking only yesterday, when the average preacher today had to rely on just the gospel he preached to get men to Christ, he'd never have any converts, would he? No, sir. He's got to add his little 2 cents worth by manipulating invitations to get men to walk the aisles, make a profession of faith, and join the church. He calls that salvation. That is not salvation. Now, you hold that thing. I know I'm dealing right now and cutting right across the line. The gospel they preach has some similarities, but makes no unpleasant demands. They offer the same thing the world does, only on a higher plane. They say and affirm that Christ is the only Savior for sinners, which is correct. But they teach that Christ becomes the sinner's Savior only by the sinner's consent. Therefore, they will give their invitations and so manipulate them as to bring that sinner to a consent to Christ or decision for Christ. But let me say again, my friend, Christ never has, does not now, never will, stand before a sinner, for a sinner, to accept or reject him. God doesn't do such foolish things. Every sinner lies before Christ in the dust of repentance to be accepted by him and pardoned or to be damned forever. Brother, that bestruts a sinner, doesn't it? That puts a sinner in his place, puts Christ in his place, puts a sinner in the dust, puts God on the throne. Some will go so far as to teach that conviction of sin is the Holy Spirit's work, and that's right. And they also teach us that the Holy Spirit shows us our lost condition and our need of Christ, and that's right. But they will tell that sinner then to make a decision for Christ. Come down the aisles, confess him openly by giving the preacher their hand or signing a card. Follow thy Lord in baptism. Dedicate thy life to the Lord. Live the best they can, and they'll go to heaven when they die. Now let me say again, that isn't salvation. That individual may be sincere, the speaker may be sincere, but it does not save it from being false. That isn't the way of salvation, my friend. I'll stake my eternal destiny on it. The individual is blind and misses Christ completely. Why? Because the emphasis is put on the sinner's intellect, on the sinner's will to make a decision for Christ, not realizing that sinner is totally depraved, held captive by Satan, and cannot choose Christ or choose the truth until his will has been delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that gives repentance and faith and gives power to decision. Therefore, the speaker puts emphasis on numbers, baptisms, programs, makes a show, and the emphasis is not on blood redemption in Christ. Now, there's your Arminianism, there's your free willism to the core. Now, you ask, how do you know, preacher? I was there for a number of years. I was a Calvinist at heart when it came right down to the heart of the doctrine. But I was an Arminian in practice, and brother, there was nobody that ever lived who knew how to manipulate invitations any more than this preacher did. I would get them out on decisions for Christ by the thousands. But that is also the thing that finally broke me. I saw they were not getting saved. God used the very thing that I was using to convict me that I was wrong. I saw that crowd were not getting saved. Now, brother, Let me give you this illustration. The first year I was in the seminary, the next fall when I came back after a summer's evangelistic work, and out of 200 students and faculty, when they made their reports of how many decisions they'd had for Christ during the summer, I reported one-fourth of all that student body and faculty. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I knew how to manipulate them as a typical showman. I saw they were not getting to Christ. They were not getting to Christ. There was no power in their lives. And to live a Christian life, they'd go back to their sins. And that's the thing that finally broke me. All right, let me say, listen again. The Holy Spirit must convict of sin, John 6:7-11. Because the sinner is dead, his will is shackled by his depraved nature, his darkened heart, and his blinded mind. It is only the Holy Spirit who can raise that sinner to Christ. And before he gets to Christ, he must make 1,000 decisions for Christ, and he will. There's one thing sure. He will always make his decisions on the side of truth. Every time the Holy Spirit shows him a new truth about himself from the Word of God, he'll say, Lord, that's right. He consents to the truth the Holy Spirit teaches him as he brings him down the way of grace to the dust of repentance at the feet of Christ. Whether that truth is about Christ or whether that truth is about his own depraved nature, he consents on the side of truth. Now, that's the kind of decisions I believe in, and that's the decisions that counts and decisions that brings him to Christ. And he may make 10,000 of them. Now, why does he always decide on the side of truth? It is because the Holy Spirit, and not the preacher, writes the laws of God within his mind. Now, let me say that again. It is because the Holy Spirit, and not the preacher, writes the laws of God within his mind. Hebrews 10:16-17. Seals the instructions in his mind. Job 33:16. And the law of God that the Holy Spirit writes in the sinner's mind is identical what he finds in the Word of God. As he reads the Word of God, the Holy Spirit shows him that the thing he sees there is what is already written in his mind. When the Holy Spirit seals the instructions or writes the law of God in the sinner's heart, not on it, but into it. When he does, the sinner always decides on the side of truth in Christ. He can't decide any other way. He may have a struggle, but the Holy Spirit will always bring him to decide for Christ. Then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal Christ to the heart of that sinner. No preacher, regardless how smart or how highly educated he may be, or however much he may know how to manipulate invitations, cannot and does not have the power to lift the veil from that sinner's heart and reveal Christ to that heart as the sinner's all-sufficient Lord and Savior. Now, brother, that's so. Preacher, you can't do it. You may give 1,000 invitations, and you may break the card, but you can't draw that sinner one hair's breadth to Christ. You can't do it. You can't do it. You'll cry out, sinner, make the start and God will meet you. No, that's a lie out of hell. You'll say, all right, sinner, you come halfway and God will meet you. That's another lie out of hell. Brother, that's not salvation. That's not the way you get sinners to Christ. Brother, you don't have the power to do it. Just recognize your powerlessness, preacher. There's no preacher living who can do it. No priest can do it. I don't care who you are. I know the average preacher doesn't know what I'm talking about. The average church member doesn't know what I'm talking about. A fellow said a while back, well, I don't preach on the new birth anymore because the folks don't know anything about the new birth. No, that's right. They don't. And the reason they don't is because they've never been born again and you've never preached it. You think that because that is all the salvation that you know anything about, you will try to make that poor sinner think he's saved. And you may convince him he's saved until the Holy Spirit gets hold of him. And when he does, brother, you or nobody else know what to do with him. And brother, you can't bring him to decision for Christ and the Holy Spirit gets hold of him and bring him beyond the point of no return. And you can't do anything but just pray the Lord and trust the Lord and look to the Lord to bring him on to Christ. Don't care who you are. You may be a THD and a PhD and a RFD and everything else. I'm trying to get you to think with me this morning. All right, when the Holy Spirit gets hold of a sinner and breaks that little religious covering he is hiding under and lets him see that he's missed Christ, the sinner doesn't know what to do with himself, and you don't. Now, that's the heart of it. That's the reason you get mad. That's the reason you can't count the work of the Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit conviction and repentance and evil. You know what to do with it, and I don't either, except turn them over to the Lord. And when God says that, son, he gets all the glory. Brother, he's so far out yonder away from you and me until when God saves him, he comes back and tells us, preachers, you know God saved me. The only thing you can do is bow your head and say, praise the Lord. Well, that's the reason you hate Holy Spirit conviction. Every Armenian that I've ever met, and I've met thousands of them, as I said, I was an Armenian for 25 years in practice, hate Holy Spirit conviction. I did. Until God got a hold of me, and when he got a hold of me, brother, and like an old hound with an old sheep coon on the bank of a creek, and he slung me until I began to cry for mercy. He hung me over hell until I began to see that I was a lost, doomed, damn, hell-born, hell-bent, hell-deserving sinner. And then I found out that salvation was of the Lord and is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I began to cry for the Holy Spirit not to leave me. No preacher, anybody else had anything to do with my salvation then. Because I've been preaching 25 years. All right, listen. 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 They will sit there and marvel at Holy Spirit conviction. They don't know what to do with him. That's the reason Armenianism hates the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit brings a member of your church under Holy Spirit conviction or brings your wife under conviction, you think you've got to do something. You get mad when you find out you can't. They'll belittle, cry down, make fun of, and try to dissociate themselves from true Calvinists who preach the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit and look to the Holy Spirit and who looks to the Holy Spirit alone for results. Now, brother, if I didn't believe what I'm preaching this morning, I'd quit knowing what I know. I'm not trying to add my 2 cents. Well, you said you're making folks mad. Well, sometimes they've got to be made mad. Get some mad they'd bite 10-penny nails into, and you go off and get to thinking. You get those old rusty screws up in your mind to working and get to thinking, and you'll get on your knees and find out what a low-down, dirty sinner, low-deserving sinner you are, and after a while you'll get to Christ, and you'll write them and say, preacher, praise the Lord that you was true to my soul. The gospel I preach is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes it. It is made so by the power of the Holy Spirit. The New Testament preachers did not know one thing about giving invitations. They didn't. Their whole message was one invitation to a sinner to come to Christ if he is broken. They preached the gospel and the power of God's Holy Spirit and left the results with him to bring men to Christ. Are you willing to do that? I am. I am. And I do it. I know the gospel I preach, my friend, is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth. I don't care who you are, whether you're drunk or yonder in the gutter, whether you're a harlot yonder in your cribs, or whether you are a preacher or a teacher or a theological professor, whether you're a king on the throne or a peasant yonder in the hovel. I don't care who you are. I know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I know there are no hard cases with God. And I do trust the gospel in the hands of the Holy Spirit to bring men to Christ. If he gets a hold of you, he'll bring you to Christ. Yes, he will. Now, someone said one day, I don't believe what that preacher's preaching, but I sure knew one thing. He believes it. And bless your heart, I do believe it, my friend.
This brings to the close another broadcast. Again, the title of the message was, Calvinism Recognizes the Power of the Holy Ghost, which is number 160 in this series, and you may have a free printed copy simply by requesting it. It's been good to have you with us. This is the Voice of Truth broadcast.